Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I'm up a beer, damn it!
All right, hello everybody, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a totally self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast, and every once in a while in between. And every once in a while, deep in the depths of the forests of wherever.
The enchanted forest.
And with me this week is...
Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
All right. This week's a little bit of a special episode in our hearts. We are doing a very Yeti Christmas. Aww. So this episode is dedicated to, well, not dedicated to, but at least part of the show is going to be, and the part you're going to be watching right now, dedicated to the Yeti.
Yes.
So we will, or at least Mike and Toby will be drinking the Oatmeal Yeti. It's an Imperial Stout from Great Divide Brewing. Unfortunately, it's a seasonal, and my stupid ass didn't pick it up when it was out, so I missed out on it. So they'll be drinking that, but we are going to be drinking some other stuff, and I'll kind of keep it in the animal theme of Christmas or holidays or whatever.
It's our Christmas creature spectacular.
What are you going to be drinking, Toby?
I'm going to be drinking Boulder Beer's Killer Penguin. It's a barley wine.
Ah. Mikey?
Cool. I'm going to drink... what am I drinking? I'm drinking Hopping Frog's Frosted Frog Christmas Ale.
Cool. And I'm going to be drinking Hair of the Dog Doggy Claws.
Right on.
So.
Doggy Claws.
It works.
Are you ready for some Yeti?
This is a fermentation conversation, yeah.
Well, since we're going to be busy popping it open and pouring it, maybe Dave could talk about it.
All right. Oatmeal Yeti.
We'll put him to work. I got foil on mine.
Oh, yeah, I already defoiled mine.
Did you defoil yours already?
Cheater! Oh, I got to answer if I'm over 21. Much like its legendary predecessors, the Yeti is big, bold, and dark. The attention of rolled oats softens Yeti's notorious roasty backbone, and the small amount of raisins add a brew kettle unique to a dark fruit character, just as admired as those that came before it. Oatmeal Yeti Stout is a gentle beast.
Ooh.
ABV is 9.5%. This is a seasonal beer. You can get it in 22-ounce bottles and 5-gallon kegs. So...
5-gallon keg of Yeti.
Whoa, this is black.
That's what they call a Yeti pint glass.
Is black.
The sextals.
I think this would be an appropriate Yeti pint glass. Something like
that's
this.
Like a Yeti thimble. Come on. Speaking of Yeti, I got a good Yeti thumb of head here.
I got one finger of head on there. It's very dark. Very, very dark. Very. I don't think there's any highlights. Nope. Dang. It is black.
It's black. And real tan head.
Yeah.
Very thick tan head.
Oh, and while you guys are drinking that, I'm going to be drinking Anchor's Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, their 2013 holiday special beer.
Wait. So. On the nose.
And I totally got a whole Yeti head, finger ahead, too.
I get raisins.
Yeah, chocolate, coffee.
Roasty coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It is like kind of a sweet raisin, some coffee bitterness.
Yeah, there is that. There's something weird in the back. I guess maybe it is the raisin. Smells big. What's the ABV?
7 something.
That's it.
What did I say? No, 9.5.
Oh, 9.5.
9.5?
Yeah. All right.
9.5. You know, it's funny too that this label is totally different than the regular Yeti labels. So, if you are looking for it, look for something totally different.
How is it different?
The label's just different.
Hmm.
Like all the other Yeti bottles don't look like that. See this, for those of you that are watching the screen, this is the Yeti. Right,
this is the oatmeal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
the other Yeti.
Well, they have some older labels and then they have the newer.
Is that the newer style? Because I mean, all the other Yeti beers that I see look like this, you know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It says Yeti really big. That's right. I remember now.
Yeah. And it's got the little cut out of the guy walking.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a sip, Mike.
Maybe that's why I couldn't find it. I was looking for the other style Yeti. I don't know. You'd still kind of notice it, I guess, but.
And they'd be in the same place probably with all the other Great Divide.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Wow, that's got a pretty big mouthfeel.
Wow. Ah, there's a lot of roast that comes in at the end.
Yeah.
It actually was sweet and creamy up front and then got roasty and a little drier at the end of the sip.
I'm even picking up on a little bit of licorice. Just a little bit. Oh, that's tasty.
You can tell it's big, but it's got that smoothness that oatmeal brings to a beer, you know? But it's big. It tastes actually bigger than, what was it, the 11 and a, was it 11.5% one I had last night?
I think so, yeah.
Last night. Last week.
Yeah. Last week. Last night for us,
last week for our listeners.
We're drinking two nights in a row.
Yeah, we got a
folks.
Back-to-back show going on, which I guess anybody on YouTube would realize that these shows are just a day apart. So,
but yeah, the full episode of this show won't come out until Christmas.
Next week. Christmas, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on, but I have enough tough time separating them.
Yeah, I mean, there's even some. Almost like a caramel, like a buttery caramel kind of,
yeah,
maybe toffee or something like that.
It's got a little bit of that Anderson Valley maltiness to it.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like a really big...
That butteriness?
Yeah.
Like kind of closer to the... what's their barley wine? Is it Bigfoot?
That's Sierra Nevada.
Bigfoot? No. You're thinking of...
They have a big...
Well, they have the.
I gotta look it
up
now.
They have an oatmeal stout. Talking about Anderson Valley's oatmeal stout.
Yeah, it's not their oatmeal stout though.
Horn of the Beer.
I'm gonna take a look. I don't know. For now, I'm gonna get back to this one.
I'm even getting like maybe some. It's starting to smell almost like an oatmeal raisin cookie on the nose with some alcohol. You know.
That would kind of make sense. I mean, you say it's got oatmeal, it's got raisins, so.
Yeah.
It's got that sweet up front and then bitter in back. I'm actually surprised that it dries up, but it leaves that roast, that coffee roastiness still on your tongue.
Yeah.
You know? So it doesn't dry up completely to kind of, cleanse your palate, but it's got a dry coffee roasty flavor on the tongue even after the sip.
And Mike, were you thinking about the Barney Flats?
Yeah, Barney Flats oatmeal stout. That's what I was thinking of.
Or Toby.
I like this one. It's super smooth. I mean, it's weird because you can kind of sense how big it is, but then it's so smooth and creamy that you just want to keep, sipping
on
it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, it is it's a very big beer, but you do want to keep sipping it because it does have a really nice kind of smooth body to it.
Hmm. What are you guys going to pair with it?
It's big, but it doesn't frighten you.
Yeah.
It's gentle. Yes. He's a gentle giant.
Much like the Yeti.
Well, yes, much like the Yeti.
But different from the Abominable Snowman.
Food with this one. It's tough because I don't want a meal with this beer because it's too big.
Yeah.
You know?
I think on the they have food pairings on the bottle that I was glancing at earlier, and
yeah, is it duck poutine? Ooh, I love me some poutine. Steaks au poivre, whatever that is, or I can't read French. Grilled portobello mushrooms, Stilton blue cheese, and banana cream pie.
Banana cream pie? That'd be interesting.
And when I saw that, I thought maybe bananas Foster's or something like that. But I think that it's too sweet.
Because this is already for that. Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
The thing about the mushroom, I'm not even a big fan of mushrooms, but I could see how a portobello mushroom, you know, something that not too strong but has some nice earthiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Would go well, and I'm kind of racking my brain trying to think of something else that would be kind of give that same feeling without being a portobello mushroom, but kind of you know, earthy flavors but not being too heavy.
I've never had poutine, but I could see how something like duck
poutine is so good, dude.
Yeah, that's what you keep telling us.
As he takes a sip. I love the poutine.
It's cool, Dave. You don't have to.
I just took another sip and got kind of a sweet kind of almost like a coffee and cola kind of mix.
Hmm.
It's interesting. I'm actually, you know, I'm going to be sipping on this beer a little bit more during the show. We have last call. It's going to give me enough time to kind of, you know, figure out exactly what to say about this beer.
Yeah, man, I'm a sucker for a good oatmeal stout.
So I wanted to run down the ratings real quick. Untapped comes in. I don't know. Would this be considered? You know what? I'm not even going to consider it. Because there's three up there, and there should really only be one. 4.03 out of 4,670 ratings. And the top three places to drink this beer is Wade's Wines in Westlake Village, California, Stella Brew in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and the Corn Dog Castle in Louisville, Kentucky.
Corn Dog Castle.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, I don't know if I'd want a corn dog with this beer, but then again, I'd pretty much have a corn dog with any beer. So... But I'm not going to pair this beer with a corn dog. I just can't do it.
No.
Can't. Looking forward to drinking some more Christmas creatures.
Okay. Yeah.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles. You can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines at the Beer Coasters Daily.
Hop Topics! All right, everybody. Welcome back. This is our Hop Topic segment.
Hop Topic segment.
Welcome back.
Your dreams are yours. Welcome back.
I've never even seen that show.
Mr. Cotter.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Mm-mm. Never seen it.
I think it's a little before your time, or before our time, I should say. It's more along Mike's
time. Yeah, Mike.
TV watching.
Old Mike.
Yeah. Mike is old. Look at all that gray in his beard. I got like two little gray hairs that Don always tries to pull out. Well, anyhow, we got a couple of hop top. We have one hop topic, and it's a little bit relevant for this show. It is 10 Christmas beers for 2013. This came to you from our brews paper. If you go to our website, www.beercoasterspodcast.com, and click on the brews paper, it brings up some current and interesting topics on craft beer. This one comes to us from shenos.com, and this is Trendy Christmas Brews. So, I guess I'll take, we'll start from the bottom. We'll go number 10 to number 1.
All right.
I don't know if these are any
They're
kind of
probably
order
not,
or whatever.
But because number 10 should be number 1 if that was the thing. So, you know, they're obviously not in any kind of order here.
All right, well, so number 10 is actually one that's pretty good, and I know a lot of people love it and wait for it. The good thing about it, too, it's also available. You can even get it at places like Target. It's a Sierra Nevada Celebration. It's a pretty well-known and very typical Christmas beer. Also, 21st Amendment's Fireside Chat Winter Spiced Ale and Rogue Santa's Private Reserve.
Number 7, come in, Abita Christmas Ale. And then the Brewery St. Bernardus Christmas Ale. And then, of course, Sam Adams' Old Fezziwig.
Number 4, Shafley's Christmas Ale. And then, of course, I get one of those freaking Brewery Judegerbichmid Afligem Noel.
Brewery.
I've had that on the show.
We've had a few of these on the show. We've had Old Fezziwig. We've had Celebration. We've had one of those. We have Santa's Private Reserve. I think we did.
One of those Browers.
Yep, we did Santa's Private Reserve. That's right.
Well, number 2 also is Anchor's Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, which I'm drinking right now.
So there,
So there.
And number 1. Although they're not in really any order, is Trogs Mad Elf.
Which I think we had that on the show, too.
Yes, we have. Had quite a few of them.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas beers out there, folks. So go out there, take a look, see what you can find. There's a whole bunch of, like, dirty elves and naughty elves.
Bad
and
Santas.
Sticking in the butt elf and Santa's butt. And
I think
definitely keep your eye open.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they chose... I mean, this is a pretty good lineup of Christmas beers because they could have gone with stuff like that, Dave. They could have gone with Santa's butt or
what's
whatever.
Wrong with that?
I don't know. Those are like the.
Don't you dare badmouth Cost Plus.
So what? Why are you badmouthing, dude? There's
Cost Plus World Market rocks.
I'm saying, I mean,
you could be drinking the ice cold, you know, train that comes out of the snow that's silver. And that's Christmassy, and then girls in bikinis will come running out and start playing with each other, and then
sound really good.
And then their tops will fall off, and I know. Damn it! It makes it nice
anyway,
and cold, so they're like bing bing.
I'm just saying they could have taken a different route, and I'm actually pleased with the 10 beers that they put on here. Sure. All right, you guys, geez, back off.
Oh, Toby's getting grumpy. He's all sensitive and stuff now.
Everybody gets all sensitive around the holidays.
You know, I was listening to the news the other day, and they said that they figured out the time when it is most likely for the family fight to start. And it's like at 3 in the afternoon.
On what? On Christmas Day or just in?
On Christmas, yeah. Okay. Yeah, on Christmas Day, yeah. There's like a time that the family fight is most likely to start.
Oh, jeez.
So my family...
Everybody go to sleep before 3.
All right,
cool.
Folks.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, that's our hot topic. Like I said, you can check that out if you go to our website, www.beercoachespodcast.com, and click on the Brews paper. All kinds of neat little articles and stuff on there all about craft beer stuff.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
This is Toby out west. This is my tasting flight. I am trying the Killer Penguin from Boulder Beer Company. This is Boulder Beer Company. They're out of Boulder, Colorado. Let me get you some quick stats here. This is a barley wine. This one was brewed in 2012. Actually, I have the 2012 vintage. Comes in at 10% ABV. 60 IBUs, right around the very nice range. So we'll see how that goes. The malts used are pale malt, 70 and 80L, and crystal malt. The hops are Nugget, Willamette, and Cascade. Wow, that actually sounds really nice. So I am going to crack it. I don't know how long Boulder Beer has been around. Oh, since 1979. Wow.
Damn, brewing almost since we were like 3 years old.
Yeah, dude. They were like, that's like Sierra Nevada. I think actually Sierra Nevada was 1980 or 81. All right, I'm cracking it. I didn't know Boulder Beer has been around that long.
Well, now you know.
I'm using a...
And knowing is half the battle.
This was waxed. The top was waxed. Wax dipped.
Wax it. Taxing it and waxing it and working it around till the booty starts making that clapping sound. Oh, and then your friends are chilling in the other room.
Which is cool, but your friends are chilling in the other room. The clapping's getting louder. Getting louder. You don't want them to clown you in this situation.
What do you do? A, you plain and simply back up off it. B, you hit it just a little bit. C, you take it out and put it in her butt. Well, D is what I do, so you'll listen up. I put a towel under the floor by the 2-inch gap under the door.
All right,
so they can clock, but they cannot listen. There'll be no budging in and there'll be no dissing.
I had about a finger. Back to my mission. It has.
I break out the whipped cream and the cherries.
Down to almost a film. It's like a quarter. A quarter finger of head, some nice lacing going on. Pretty clear. Yeah, very clear. It's got that kind of orangish, a little bit of an amber color. Very like golden amber. Nice carbonation on the nose. Big, sticky, malty. Like you get the... You get the grain, that real like heavy grain malt. Barley wines, man, I'm telling you. They are a kick in the pants. Lots of big cereal.
Ain't that a kick in the pants?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, it's like, is that better than getting kicked in getting kicked in the nuts?
I think it could be, you know, taken either way.
Is the kick in the pants usually like a good thing?
Well, I think it just means that it's, you know, got some attitude, I guess.
Yeah.
To come with it.
Okay.
But yeah, big cereal grain. I'm picking up on a little bit of raisin, something like that in there, almost like a candied raisin type thing on the nose.
Candied raisins.
Is that like those raisinettes?
No chocolate.
Just candied raisin.
Yeah, almost like a... Like a, almost maybe it's more of like a reduction, almost like a raisin reduction type.
Isn't a raisin a reduction? A
reduced grape.
A grape reduction. No,
it's a double reduction.
Yeah, big cereal grain. That's like the big smell that comes out. We'll take a sip.
So it's like grape nuts then, huh?
Really sweet, pretty smooth, lots of caramelized sugars and like very sweet, like a some sort of a lollipop type sweetness.
Lollipop, lollipop,
oh, it's actually
lollipop, 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 oh, lollipop.
I don't really get any of the alcohol or any of that. I mean, the warming happens, yeah, pretty far after the sip, but it's more of like, it's like this lollipop. There's a little bit of a hop character in there. It's more of like a fruity kind of hop character.
Are you trying to tell us you're drinking a barley pop?
Roger that. Good, buddy.
10-4.
Yeah, super sweet. But it's tasty. It's not real syrupy. You know, it's actually actually pretty clean. You know, you're left over with still a lot of sweetness that hangs around, but it's not real super sticky sweet, you know. dries up a little bit. What did I say? 10%? There's even some... Man, what is that? It's... All I can think of is it's just like real sugary. You know, like a lollipop, but I can't figure out what flavor of lollipop it would be.
What color is it?
Well, I mean, it's...
That was a lollipop, Toby.
Oh.
Do you think that at Toby's age that he doesn't know, he can't match the color and flavors of a lollipop by now?
It's blue.
Yellow is lemon.
Tastes like blue, Dave.
It tastes blue. It tastes like burning.
But what would you pair with this, Toby?
This is an after-dinner sipper. This is dessert in a glass. But if I was going to... It's almost like a dessert wine, you know? Dave, what would you pair with a dessert wine?
Desserts? I know one time I had a Muscat's Canale with a cheesecake and strawberries. In fact, you were there and you were eating a brownie. That's when we went to Disneyland.
Oh yeah. Well, we were pretty drunk.
Pretty hammered, yeah.
We ran up that room service bill pretty quick.
Oh my God. It was probably the best $50 piece of cheesecake and brownie we ever
Actually, strawberries. You said strawberries. I think actually maybe chocolate dipped strawberries or even chocolate just some sort of a strawberry, maybe even a strawberry shortcake. Might go, yeah, because like maybe a little bit of the tartness from the strawberries would help out, and the you know, the pound cake isn't going to be too overwhelming or whatever.
Or maybe a fruit tart.
Yeah, maybe a little fruit tart, but nothing too overly sweet, because this is really sweet as it is.
Well, no, fruit tarts really aren't overly sweet. It's got like that pastry, that cream kind of stuff, and then like the fruit, and then like some sort of like a sugar kind of glaze or something.
Yeah. This is a pretty tasty Killer Penguin from Boulder Beer Company.
Oh, they're Untappd ratings.
Untappd.
There comes ratings. The ratings come in at 3.81 out of 2,741 ratings. Top three places to drink this are Swamp Loggers in Hunlet Creek, World of Beer in Orlando, Florida, and Holmaville Inn in Langhorne.
Did you look up the 2012?
No, I just did the Frosted Frog Christmas Ale.
That's what I'm drinking.
Oh, dang it.
You fool.
I'm drinking the Killer Penguin, yo.
Killer Penguin. All right.
On Untappd. Comes in at a 3.78.
Dave's like, frog, penguin, what's the difference, man?
With 447 ratings. Top three places to drink this is nowhere. They don't have anywhere. Nobody has checked into this at any location.
What?
Wow.
What? I'm looking at like, oh, you checked in the 2013 one.
Yeah,
right?
No, the 2012. That's the one I have, is a 2012, yeah.
Oh, you got an old one then, huh?
And yeah, well, there's no.
If you just look at the regular one, the non-vintaged one, Five Horses Tavern in Boston, the Beer Market in Bolingbrook, Illinois, and Old Chicago in Arvada, Colorado.
Cool, and this is their winter seasonal, I believe. Yes, it's their extremely limited winter barley wine ale, so. Check it out. If you find it, I recommend checking it out. It's a good one. If you like really sweet beers.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
We've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
My tasting flight this week is from Hoppin' Frog, and it's their Frosted Frog Christmas Ale.
I would say that this is a new brewery, but I think Crazy Dave did Hoppin' Frog on the show before.
I've done Hoppin' Frog on
Boris
the Crusher.
Oh, that's right. Boris the Crusher.
So, Hoppin' Frog Brewery is out of Ohio somewhere. Akron, Ohio, maybe? Yeah, something like that. Their website is www.hoppinfrog.com. That's hoppin', no G. This style is a winter warmer. The alcohol by volume, a.k.a. ABV, is 8.6 in the International Bitterness Units, also known as IBUs, come in at a whopping 12.
Woo!
I'm going to crack it.
Nice.
What style of beer is this?
A winter warmer.
Oh. Winter warmer.
Which now, due to the beer jar guy, we know all about.
Yes, from last week.
Holy.
Yeah, in case you folks at home want to know the differences or what a winter warmer is, go check out last week's show. Beer Jargon Guy broke it down nicely. Actually, no, it was 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Sorry, I'm editing still.
Okay. It's a kind of a copper color, getting in towards the red. Red hue. Amber, coppery. Had a little bit of head, but a pinky finger. Dissipated very, very quickly. On the nose, I cannot explain all the crazy spices going on.
Huh.
Already.
I'm talking.
It's like the spice cabinet all.
Cloves, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg.
Well, that's just a pumpkin pie.
It smells like pumpkin pie, like all the spices. But I'm not getting any pumpkin in there. But big cinnamon, like the cinnamon and the clove. The clove hits big. I can smell the clove as soon as I pop the cap off the bottle. Wow, every single thing you can think of Christmas time spice wise smells it. The odor is in here. Brown sugar, cinnamon, gingerbread, clove, nutmeg, you name it. Crazy. It's actually not, it would make a great air freshener around the holidays, you know? I'll be honest. I'm a little
afraid.
Worried about taking a sip right now.
Fear not.
But it smells Christmassy.
Like potpourri.
Mm, here we go.
You can set out a glass in your bathroom. Put it on a little warmer.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Lots and lots of cinnamon in the flavor. I'm actually going to say it almost tastes like someone spilt too much cinnamon brewing this beer.
So is it like cinnamon when it dries up your mouth when you take a whole mouthful?
No, because
of that?
It has it. There's a sweetness coming through from. The malts are kind of, I don't know. There's a little bit of a sweetness, so it's not like straight dry hot cinnamon. It's more of a sweeter, like a cinnamon roll cinnamon, but heavy. Yeah, all kinds of spices. I'm trying to get beyond it to get a little bit of that malt character, and it kind of starts to come through a little bit, but it's just a spice bomb. Ugh. I don't know what else to say about this beer.
What's the malt character like?
It's hard to get past all the spices, and then when I do get to the malt character, it's like a very mild English ale. But it's hard to get beyond that. I mean, the mouthfeel, it's got kind of a medium to light mouthfeel. It's got some real prickly carbonation. There's just too many spices to kind of pick stuff out. I wouldn't want to pair anything with this, like a shortbread cookie or a butter cookie or something. And that's just to kind of mellow it out.
Maybe some whipped cream.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's got to be really mellow. Like, you know, like those Scottish shortbread, you know, just like the little bar type cookies.
Yeah.
Something like that would be okay. Yeah, it's got to be really buttery and mild. But, you know, the butteriness might help with all the spices going on. And this is the Hoppin' Frog's Frosted Frog Christmas Ale. Untapped comes in at, oops, I had it on the wrong thing. Comes in at 3.81 out of 2,741 ratings. The top three places to drink this beer, as you heard previously from Crazy Dave, was Swamp Lagers in Hunlock Creek, Pennsylvania, World of Beer in Orlando, Florida, and the Humeville in Langhorne, Pennsylvania.
Humeville.
So yeah, there you have it, folks. Super spicy, Christmassy beer.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
Time's a crazy day to drink some beer. Watch out now, baby bubba.
All right, crack babe, it.
What's up?
How's it taste?
Crazy Dave, hair of the dog.
What would you pair it with?
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
What would you pair with?
This is actually the Hair of the Dog Brewing Company. They're out of Portland, Oregon. I am drinking their Doggy Claws Barley Wine Style Ale. It's a bottle-conditioned beer. It's 11%. It's a big beer. It's festive. It's reverent. It's hoppy. It's clean. And it's got two menorahs and a bulldog with a Santa cap and a cigar. So, that being said, I'm going to crack it.
Oh, I'm going to crack it.
You go ahead now and crack it.
It says it's got 70 IBUs and that it's made with organic Pilsner and British Crystal malts and Simcoe and Amarillo hops. And it pours out
organic Pilsner, man.
It pours out a really nasty, dirty brown. It seriously looks like dirty water, like dirty sewer water.
But I love that dirty water.
There's no head.
Boston, you're my
home. No head at all. And I am drinking this out of my swamp glass, my swamp ape.
How appropriate.
Yeah. So totally swamp water looking kind of stuff.
Swamp water.
It's got a very sweet smell to it.
That's his one word, swamp water.
Doesn't quite smell like swamp water.
I hope not. That would make for some funky beer.
Is there any algae floating in there?
No. It looks like it's a bunch of but it looks like a bunch of sediments in there. It looks kind of like, you know.
That's not sediment. Chunky.
It's got a really sweet, fruity kind of a smell to it. Maybe like raisins. Kind of like what Toby
Dave,
was talking
for your
about.
AB, on your show notes or your notes for, the, for this beer.
Yeah.
611% ABV.
That's 11 and a half. God
damn it. That's it. He's going to die right here on the show. We're going to witness the death of Crazy Dave. Me and Toby, we've died
like
already
burning.
On the show.
It tastes like burning.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Whoa.
See, 611%.
Yes. Crazy Dave freakout.
It's very flat. There's no carbonation at all in this.
How old is it?
It's a 2013.
Did it have any pop when you opened
it? No, that's a mistake. It's 1913.
It's almost, it's kind of like, it reminds me of like a cask kind of a.
Yeah.
Thing. I mean, you expect a little bit of carbonation just because it should have some, but there's really none. That being said, it's got a real smooth sweetness to it. God, I'm not good at describing this at all.
What kind of hop characters are you getting? Any?
Yeah, no, there's definitely hops. I mean, like I said, the IBUs were 70, and it's definitely got a zip to it. It's fruity and dry. It's fruity and dry.
Kind of fruits? Are you getting dark fruits?
No.
Like plum or
no. They're light.
Or...
they're light fruits. Like fruity fruits. Like not quite apricot.
I'm tasting some fruity fruits.
Smooth fruity fruits.
Smooth fruity fruits.
Oh yeah, these are smooth fruity.
Little fruits. Little fruits.
Light fruits.
What would you pair with this?
Dark ones.
Little fruits.
Damn it.
I'd like to pair this with some little fruits.
Kumquats. Loquats.
Cranberries. Raspberries.
What are them little, when you break them open, the pomegranates. Yeah, little pomegranates. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Lots of little fruits inside a fruit.
Yeah.
No, it's like a little bit of orange.
Pomegranates are like fruit-covered seeds.
Yes. And they stain everything. They really suck.
Well, listen, isn't everything a fruit? I mean, a fruit is a fruit-covered seed most of the time.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, I should say a fruit-coated seed.
Is a peach not a fruit-covered seed? Is a cherry not a fruit-covered seed?
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, what about the seedless fruits? Like, you know, like you can get seedless
grapes.
Yeah,
that's just wrong.
I wonder if you could get seedless pomegranates.
I still don't understand how they can plant seedless fruits.
I don't know, man. You'd probably be a millionaire. You can make some seedless pomegranates.
Gina says, it's called juice.
It's called juice? I thought you were about to say it's called GMO.
Oh, seedless pomegranates, GMOs? Yeah.
Well, so, I can't imagine what the inside of that would look like.
I don't know. It would just be some fruity goodness, man.
It would look like brains.
It would probably look like some...
like red caviar?
No, probably like
some... yeah, caviar.
Maybe. Well, like the salmon caviar, you know, is probably what it would be like.
Speaking of food...
I can't think of a food pairing. I'm horrible at barley wines. They're not my kind of beer.
Usually, barley wines, people...
I wouldn't pair it with a food. I mean...
like cheese. Creme brulee or bananas Foster's or something, but they're just too sweet to me sometimes.
This is way too sweet. I think it needs a little something of a kick. I think like a cheese, like a pungent cheese, I think would be better with this.
Yeah,
not a creme. I couldn't imagine eating something sweet with this.
Yeah, I mean this is like the something you would have on a platter of cheeses,
charcuterie tray.
Okay,
so that's what I pair with this. Dried
and you
fruits,
have it just
dried
in a little
and
glass,
and
you
cheeses.
Sip it, and you have the stuff, and you sip it, and you
eat
you know,
it. Yeah, sip and eat, sip and eat, sip and eat.
Yeah.
So sorry, guys, I'm not giving you much of a Christmas present with this tasting thing.
Fail.
It's fail.
Ah, humbug.
Well, since my rating on this is probably going to totally suck, I'll tell you what Untappd says about
You're crazy. That's what you are.
They don't have Doggy Claws 20. Oh, here it is, Doggy Claws 2013. Not enough ratings. There's enough ratings. It's 3.68 out of 82 ratings.
Oh.
82? Wow. Mm-hmm. On Untappd?
Yeah.
Holy smackers.
Top places to drink this is the Hair of the Dog Brewery Tasting Room in Portland, Oregon. The
Holy Wolf smackers.
The Wolf Stand in Seattle, Washington, and the CBA Test Facility in Irvine, California. So.
The CBA Test Facility.
Whatever the hell that is.
Craft beer. Man,
it's great. I mean, some of these top places has made for some entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. I'd love it.
Oh, it's CBA is Craft Brewers Association.
Ah.
So it's the test facilities for the Craft Brewers Association.
Oh, and number four, Area 51. Oh, just kidding. Oh, wait, it just disappeared off the list.
Oh.
Oh, there's a knock at my door. Hold on. Homeland Security? What are you doing here so late?
MJV Morris says, police say no beer on Christmas Eve resulted in a man being stabbed with a ceramic squirrel.
God, keep
Mike,
going.
Mike
keep
didn't
going,
even Dave. Mike didn't even participate.
Last call.
There it is. All right, folks, this is our last call segment. This is where we bring it all home together. We give you our pint ratings of the beers that we drank on the show. Let's hit it off with Toby.
Okay, for the Great Divide Oatmeal Yeti. I've had a couple of the Yetis. I've had the regular Yeti. I've had the, I've had the espresso.
We did the whole Yeti.
Yeti
show with us.
Yeah,
you?
We did the whole Yeti show, but I didn't have the Belgian, because remember, each one of us had our own, but all three of us had one.
Yes.
So we ended up doing four different Yetis or something.
Yep. We did the Yeti, the regular Yeti. We did the regular Yeti, the espresso oak Yeti, the oaked Yeti, and the Belgian Yeti.
Oh, the oaked Yeti, that's right. So, and I've liked all of them. I thought all of them were fantastic. And this one, I mean, it's still.
And any of you guys want to listen to that Yeti show, it was back in October 2011.
Wow.
The Yeti finger issue.
I don't know, man. Like I said in the fermentation conversation, I am a sucker for a good oatmeal stout. An imperial oatmeal stout. I mean, how could you go wrong?
It's like giving you more of something that you already like. Here's a more enhanced version of what you already like.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go 5 pints. I really like this. I mean, I love the smoothness. I love the fact that it's big, but it's still, you know, like we were saying, it's a gentle giant. You know, I mean, it's easy drinking,
big and smooth,
but it's got lots of big flavors, lots of coffee, a little bit of licorice, a slight hint of the raisins are starting to come out now. Now that it's pretty warmed up, you don't get so much of the raisin. You get a lot more of that coffee and chocolate. And it's just so smooth and creamy. I mean, it's great. Look for it next year when it comes out, if you don't already have it. Yeah, I think it comes out in July, which is a kind of a weird time of year for it to be brewed and bottled, but look for it. It's good. The Boulder Beer Killer Penguin Barley Wine from 2012.
And Boulder not being stronger than the Yeti, but
yeah,
Boulder as in Boulder.
Pretty cool. I mean, they wax dip it, but then they put this little wood button type thing that's carved out. It says 2012 in the front. It's pretty sweet. It's what? Oh, medallion, yes. It's a little wood, a wooden medallion that's stuck in the wax. Very.
How can something be called a medallion if it's made out of wood? Isn't a medallion come from the word metal?
Black metal! Is it
a woodallion?
Maybe. How can you support a family if you cannot support a medallion? Okay, I'm gonna go 4 pints. I really like it. It's
dang.
I'm not a big fan of barley wines. I know I've said this time and time again on the show. I'm not a huge fan of barley wines. Maybe I'm starting to appreciate them more. I've always wanted to appreciate barley wines more, only because I know how much stuff goes into making them, and I can appreciate beers that kind of are meant to age and withstand time. I want to appreciate them more. So, you know, Imperial Stouts, you can hang on to for a year, 2-3 years, some of those. Barley wines, you can hang on to for, you know, a long time, 10 years, whatever. Higher ABV, whatever. So, 4 pints. I'm digging it. It's lots of sweetness, lots of really sugary sweetness. Like I said, it tastes like a lollipop with a little bit. The hops started coming out more as it warmed up. A little bit of pininess was creeping through, and fruitiness. Very nice. 4 pints.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. You never really know what you're going to give for a rating, because you'll be describing a beer, and I'm trying to think, well, does he like what he's describing right now? Or does he not like what he's describing right now?
Mikey.
This was one of those times where the lollipop thing is like, oh, maybe he just doesn't like it. But nope, you did. For my Oatmeal Yeti from Great Divide, it's a really good beer. It's got that oatmeal smoothness that just can't be beat. It's tough because I keep trying to, and I'm kind of approaching this in a negative way, thinking, what is it missing? And I don't really think it is missing anything. It's got some of that. Now that it's a little bit warmer, I'm almost getting that little bit of molasses.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about, you know, the raisins or whatever, but it doesn't have that dark fruit type. When you get stouts, sometimes they lean towards, you know, one way or the other. And sometimes they get that, you know, you'll get dark cherries and raisins. And this isn't quite going in that direction. There's a hint of raisins, but it's more along the really darker sugars.
What was it was on the nose at first when we first started sipping it. I mean, when we first opened it and poured it, that's where I was getting the raisins mostly. It was on the
like
nose,
an alcoholic raisin kind of coffee and raisins. I mean, it's a great beer. I'm only because there's nothing I can take away from it. There's nothing I can say why I can't give it a 5. I have to give it a 5. I'm trying to think of reasons to not give it a 5. But
you're looking for flaws?
Yeah, I guess I am. But I love it. It's a phenomenal beer, just like the rest of the Yeti lineup. To be honest,
I wonder what would happen if you sat on that for a year. You know, I wonder how
it'd probably be very uncomfortable.
Well, it depends what you like.
Ba-dum-bum. I'd be waiting for a baby Yeti to hatch.
So, moving on to the Frosted Frog from Hoppin' Frog, their Christmas ale. No. This, all these spices should not be in a beer. You know, pick a couple and go with it. This is just too much in one beer. It's bad. I don't like it. It's too much crap in the beer. I want them to pull back a little bit. You can have a lot of complexity in a beer without adding tons of shit to it. And for that, I'm giving them a 2.
Wow.
Dang.
I almost want to give them a 2.5 because it's Christmas, but I'm not. I'm giving them a 2.
2.
Because I won't buy it again, and
too much crap.
It's got too much crap in it.
So why didn't you give it a 1?
2 means.
Are you not going to drink the rest of it? Are you going to pour it down the sink?
I don't think I've done that to any of the beers.
Is it bad enough to pour down the sink? That's the thing. Usually, the only beers I know that I've poured down the sink are ones that are were obviously spoiled.
Well, I can say that I've poured, like, if I haven't finished a particular bottle, like, maybe if there's some left over from a 750 mil, and it's, like, sitting warm in the glass, I'll dump it as opposed to, chugging it down.
Yeah.
Right. Or you wake up the next morning and there's a wounded soldier and you just go, nah, I can't do it.
I just can't do it this morning. As much as I'd like to pour it in my oatmeal, it's not going to happen.
Damn. Well, I didn't get to drink the oatmeal yet because I didn't find it or I didn't pick it up when I did find it. So I didn't do that. But the hair of the dog, doggy claws, when this warms up a little bit, it starts to open up a little bit more. There's a lot more... A little bit more citrusiness, a little more fruitiness from like peach and apricot kind of notes. Also getting a lot more brown sugar and like toffee kind of flavors. That being said, I'm still a little disturbed about the absolute lack of any kind of carbonation or any kind of head.
It is weird.
Yeah, you're so right. I'm wondering if something happened or whatever. There is a bit of complexity and there is a lot of potential for this. So, this particular session, I'm gonna go with a. I guess I'll give it a 3 because I can see what's trying to happen here. I think I may have gotten a flaw or something.
Yeah, lots of good flavors there. It sounded nice.
Yeah, it's good flavors. It's just it seems like it's missing something. And like I said, I don't know if it's because there's seriously no carbonation at all.
I mean, I'm with you, Dave. I can see how that would totally affect the overall, feeling of the beer. It's just kind of weird. It's like flat or whatever. You got to have some sort of a mouthfeel.
Yeah. Well, it does have a very smooth, smooth, creamy mouthfeel, which I like, but unfortunately, it's a little too hoppy, too. So it's kind of off-putting. So that's why I'm giving this a 3. Maybe I'll try it again and see what's going on. I mean, a lot of other people really like this beer and give it some pretty solid ratings, but for me, for this session, not so much.
You know what's weird about your rating is that I don't think we give out very many threes. We give out 2.5s and 3.5s.
Not very many threes.
Not very many threes.
And the other thing too about barley wine is you really got to be in the mood for one.
Yeah, I mean, that's true too.
You want to sit down. You want to really drink it, analyze it, taste it, enjoy it.
Dave, that's one of the reasons.
It's work.
That's one of the reasons why I have barley wines that I've been sitting on for a long time, because one, there's that whole reason where you really got to be in the mood for it, and you really got to you're getting yourself into a pretty big beer, so you want to either have somebody with you that could share the experience, take a little bit of the load off, and appreciate it, and time of year and all that stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I've been sitting on some of those, is because I know they're high ABV. I know this particular type of beer, so I'm with you on that.
Those are my ratings. Those are our ratings. That's what we got. Well, I gotta give a shout out to Tony Leone. He was out there. He tried our Shipyard. He was not a very big fan of it. Thought it was just a bit too much.
I think it was too much mint.
Yeah.
For them.
I want to give a shout out to Matt Laraway and Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson?
Ashley Simpson on Google Plus.
Oh, all right.
she watched our tasting flight and she made some comments. So I want to give her a shout out.
Yeah, right. What does she look like?
Our fermentation conversation. Mike needs to soak in the tub with the rest of his beer.
Yeah. Mike's all grumpy, so we're gonna go. Hope you all have a happy holidays.
Poor Mike. It's grumpy. Like 1 o'clock in the morning, and
he's just done with beer. Yeah. Or he's done with us. I don't know. One of the two.
I'm just tired. That's all.
All right.
I'm not feeling too well, but I powered through this show.
Good job.
I tried to stay in the Christmas spirit, and I hope I didn't disappoint.
No, you did good, Mike. Thanks for
good job,
for
man.
On the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
And to all of our listeners, this is your show. We just drinking in it. www.beercoasterspodcast.com.
Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe.
All right.
Give us thumbs up. Tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Cheers.
Cheers. Tell your French fries.
Tell your French fries. Merry Christmas.
Tell your French fries.
We'll see you in the new year.
Woohoo! Yeah.
It's new breweries.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Beer Coasters 2014 coming up. Who would have thunk it?
Crazy. 5 years. Ooh. We got to do something for our 5th anniversary. Big party.
Yeah.
Cheers. Good night, Mike.
Cool. Cheers.
Cheers.
See you next year.
Whoa!